movie set to multiplex. It's the business of film with James Cameron Wilson.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
It is time for the business of film, and I'm joined by James Cameron Wilson, who's going to take us through the winners and losers at last weekend's box office in the UK. James, now, for the last few weeks, we've had Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, very firmly at the top of the box office. I'm going to do extraordinary business. So the important question is it still there, or has it been knocked off?
Well, it's quite an extraordinary week. By sheer coincidence, we not only have the two major Oscar contenders opening side by side, but two films starring an Affleck as well, one highly acclaimed, the other universally panned. But the number one film is the musical that everybody's been talking about, La La Land, which came in with £6.5 million. Pounds. And this is a film I believe you've seen.
I have seen it once. I'm actually due to go at the weekend to see it again. I liked it so much. But I worry with this, and we haven't really gotten to talking about whether we like it or not. I'm hoping you do, but I worry that it may get overpraised and that people may get disappointed. I mean, I think it's a terribly nice film. I'm not sure it's a great movie. But James, you must tell us a little bit about it, and we have a little clip.
Well, indeed, it's basically a boy meets girl, boy gives the girl a finger, girl forgives boy, and slowly, falteringly, boy and girl fall into step, even though she hates jazz, and he plays the piano like an angel. She's an actress, although she's got little to show for it, but he believes in her. They're made for each other, except that their respective dreams keep getting in the way. Well, she is played by Emma Stone. Yes. I think we should point out, and he is played by Ryan Gosling.
Well, let me play the clip because it seems an appropriate moment.
I got a call back.
What? Come on. For what?
For a TV show. The one that I was telling you about earlier.
The Dangerous Minds meets the OC?
Yeah.
Congratulations. That's
really
incredible.
Exciting. I feel like I said negative stuff about it before.
What?
It's like Rebel Without a Cause, sort of.
I got the bullets.
Yes.
You've never seen it.
I've never seen it.
Oh, my. You know it's playing at the Rialto.
Really?
Yes. You should, I can take you.
Okay.
You know, for research.
For research?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Monday night, 10 o'clock.
Yeah, great.
Okay.
For research.
That's a clip there from La La Land. James, I'm sitting nervously now wondering what you thought of it, because there are times when you don't think the same as almost everybody else. I'm wondering what your view is.
I think on the whole that you and I agree on the films, and we certainly agree on this. Musicals are thin on the ground these days, let alone ones that celebrate the enduring bond of love. And of course, we're a huge fan of the writer-director Damien Chazelle, who started out as a jazz drummer. And his second film, Whiplash, for which he received an Oscar nomination for Best Screenplay, was all about a jazz drummer. Here, he expands his canvas to include the awful cattle call of acting auditions, and he struck oil with his leading lady, Emma Stone, who plays the struggling Mia Dolan. And Ryan Gosling's not bad either, and he plays the piano like an angel. He spent months preparing for this role.
I confess, I was flabbergasted. He did not play the piano before. He plays like a jazz pianist. I have spent 40 years of my life trying to play like this, and I can't do it. And he seems to have done it. I don't know how. That's just bizarre. But he is quite good.
He had a very good teacher.
Oh, that's
but for me, what makes the film really is Emma Stone. She invests so much intelligence and heartbreak and humour into this role. I just couldn't take my eyes off her. And the film starts with a flourish, plugging the fact that it's shot in CinemaScope, which it says in big letters like it did in the old days. Mm. And it features this terrific opening pan alongside an LA highway clogged with traffic, which reminded me of the opening of the Michael Douglas film Falling Down. I don't know if you remember that.
I do. It was one of my favourite films of the year. Well, not generally liked, but yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, I loved it too. You see, we do agree. But anyway, soon the disgruntled drivers are bursting into song and performing some athletic moves. And it really gets you in the mood. And it seems like it's all done in one shot, which is extraordinary. And from the start, we know that we're in the midst of an old-fashioned musical, albeit with a fresh and contemporary spin. And while Gosling's piano solos provide the heartbeat of the film, and the music is terrific, Emma Stone just contributes riveting capsules of drama in audition after audition. I'm just amazed she doesn't get these parts. She's so good. I could just see her audition tape happily.
She has long, long been one of my favourite actors. She was in a sort of weird TV series called Drive that almost nobody saw. I think got pulled very early on. But, I mean, she's just fantastic. I think what's worth saying is that I think people who don't like musicals may still like this. It's not a very musically musical. In a sense, it's not Stair Rogers stuff. And what it really is, though, is a gloriously romantic movie. It's a happy movie. I mean, you want to hug yourself with joy at the end of it. You know, we mustn't overpraise it because I think it's quite slight when it comes to the storytelling. It's just lovely.
It is. And it's based in reality. It does, although there are sequences, the famous sequence where they sort of take off in the air, which is so romantic. It is rooted in real life, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Absolutely.
I mean, the whole film is steeped in longing and panache, one scene blending into the next with such smart segues. He's such a fine filmmaker, yet it is so much more than an exercise in style. It's a tale of trampled dreams, lost love and second chances, building to a soulful, affecting whole.
Yes. And although the music as well is quite slight, I confess I've been listening to that as well. No, La La Land is lovely. And I think what's amazing is that it is doing so well at the box office. I have read that cinemas are advising people to book because so many of the screenings are actually turning out to be full. And as we know, James, that is not often the case at UK cinemas, except with the...
And you know that Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling will both receive Oscar nominations next week.
Yes.
Which will amazingly only be his second Oscar nomination.
And I think you told us last week, does it not receive more awards at the Golden Globes than any other film in its history?
That is absolutely right. Yeah.
I don't know, the Globes are not quite as rigorous, perhaps, as the BAFTAs or the Oscars, but still, it's a good pointer. Now, James, we spent quite a long time talking on that because we like it so much, but let's now whiz down the chart. We've got some other new movies to talk about as well.
Well, what was number two last week is still number two this week, which is Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Now the 12th highest grossing film of all time at the UK box office. In a nutshell, if you haven't seen it, it's a standalone offshoot of the Star Wars franchise with Felicity Jones, Forest Whitaker, and a very diverse international cast of actors who I felt largely got lost in the action. It looks amazing. It's like a huge firework display, but I wasn't as emotionally engaged as I would like to have been. Number three, we've got Moana, which is Disney's 56th animated feature, which has actually climbed from last week's sixth place to third this week, in spite of the emergence of La La Land at the top of the totem pole. That's quite an achievement. Because it opened disappointingly, but it's holding really strong, which would suggest word of mouth, and of course the holiday season, is really to its advantage. Number four, we've got Assassin's Creed, which was number one last
week. Yes, I'd forgotten it replaced Star Wars, yes.
Yeah. Which dropped off over 80%. So I think the word has got out that this is not a great movie, in spite of the fact it's got a terrific cast. Michael Fassbender, Marianne Cotillard, Jeremy Irons, who do give it a certain class. But this film, which is based on a video game and it's all about regressing to the Spanish period of warring assassins through the genius of modern day science, is very complicated. I could follow it. I didn't get lost as some critics, but I just didn't think it was a great action movie. I had some interesting ideas, but it needed a bit more cohesion. Number five, again, it was number five last week, Passengers. It's holding very strongly. And I would rather see one film, one sci-fi film, with just Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence than see Rogue One with that huge cast, because they're both so charismatic. It's got great story. It's enormous fun. Visually, it has all the stunningness of Rogue One. It is fantastic, and there's a wonderful sequence where one of the characters gets caught into this giant sort of gravity-produced globule of water. How did they film that? It was amazing. I really loved this film.
Yes, I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Which brings us to the big other Oscar contender, which is at number 6, Manchester by the Sea, which I believe you've seen. But whereas La La Land is a film likely to appeal to a wide audience, Kenneth Lonergan's Manchester by the Sea, I think it is more of a critics' film. I've been a fan of Kenneth Lonergan since his first film, amazingly 17 years ago, You Can Count on Me, with Laura Linney and Mark Ruffalo. I watched it again this week. I was not only struck by how young Laura Linney and Mark Ruffalo looked, but the fact that it's largely about a man on the slide who finds himself spending a considerable amount of time with his nephew. And that is precisely what Manchester by the Sea
Oddly
is
Oddly enough, I watched You Can Count on Me relatively recently. I'm not quite sure
Did
why.
You?
Yes, well, I'm a big fan of Laura Linney anyway. I can't remember what made me watch it, but I thought it was really quite interesting. Manchester by the Sea, we may have different views on this. Tell me yours.
Casey Affleck plays Lee Chandler, a blue-collar janitor who's hardly the most agreeable of protagonists, being a moody, angry, and socially awkward human being. He picks fights in bars and he's reprimanded by his boss for speaking back to a customer. But then Lee does have an awful lot on his mind. Then, as his life coils into ever-decreasing circles, a tragedy hits him in the solar plexus. He finds himself the sole guardian of his brother's son, Patrick, a young man living the life that Lee himself has lost. Lonergan's power, I feel, as a director, is to create an almost documentary-like naturalism into which he drops barely noticed notes of narrative. In fact, there's a giant emotional elephant at the heart of this drama, and it really pays to pay attention. With flashbacks, we discover why Lee Chandler is the way he is. Lonergan is also an exquisite craftsman, I feel, who coats his prosaic scenes with a real cinematic finesse, overlaying his shots of a barren, snowbound New England with a glorious classical score. It's an eloquent counterpoint to the inarticulate demons that haunt his characters, trapped in the routine of their lives. Casey Affleck is the most unassertive of actors and seldom even appears to be acting. For me, I think the film's showiest performance, if you can call it that, rests with the young Lucas Hedges as Patrick, who at times resembles a lanky teenage version of Matt Damon, who is one of the film's producers. Michelle Williams is good too, although she's perhaps too famous a face to fit in with the film's sense of humdrum anonymity.
Yes.
I can't say that word.
Yeah, I see what you mean. James, certainly is visually, I think, given the sort of unprepossessing landscapes in which it's set, I thought was splendid. But I confess, I just found this quite dull and miserable, and it didn't feel that emotionally it rewarded me from the time spent. It felt to me a little bit like a rather well-done sort of what we used to disparage and refer to as the movie of the week.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I think... Well, Casey Affleck is being tipped for the Oscar. It's not an Oscar-winning performance. It's not the sort of performance the Oscar people vote for. And I got a slight feeling that Denzel Washington might get a third Oscar because he gives more of a sort of barnstorming performance in Fences. But Casey Affleck is totally believable. If it fails to generate the same level of drama as Lonergan's previous, as I said, You Can Count on Me, and his extraordinary Margaret, which practically nobody saw, with Anna Paquin and Matt Damon, its pleasures proved to be more cerebral. This is a film I would love to see again, Manchester by the Sea, just because there is so much going on, and you really have to pay attention. There's one sequence where it's a powerful scene, culminates with a noise off-screen that lasts no longer than 2 seconds, and that is the sound of chinking glass. And of course, for me, that screamed volumes. But you have to be awake.
Well, perhaps I should see it again. Perhaps I was just in the wrong mood. Mood is terribly important when seeing a film. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. I think we're going to, at some stage, talk about the other Affleck brother.
From movie set to multiplex, it's the business of film with James Cameron Wilson.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
This is The Business of Film. I'm joined by James Cameron Wilson. We've just looked at number 6 on the chart, Manchester by the Sea. What's number 7, James?
Well, we do have another Affleck at number 7. This is called Live by Night. Let's not forget that Ben Affleck won an Oscar for his screenplay to Good Will Hunting and has gone on to direct Gone, Baby, Gone, The
brilliant.
Town. Yeah, brilliant. And the Oscar-winning Argo. Brilliant. In fact, as a filmmaker, he's just got better and better, which is why Live by Night is so disappointing. It's based on the novel by Dennis Lee Hayne, who also wrote the original novel of Gone, Baby, Gone. And there are... this is a gangster movie, essentially. They who live by night are the gangsters who profited from Prohibition, among other things, according to Ben Affleck's very lugubrious voiceover, which almost sets the tone from the start. He sort of drags you down. He plays a character called Joe Coughlin, who, after surviving the First World War, swore never to take orders again. Instead, he wants to sleep all day and thrive on crime at night. Even at the beginning, critics have praised the opening car chase. But when they rob a bank, and then you hear the sirens going, and he yells at his accomplices, "Cops!" Well, surely, when they hear a siren, they know they're cops. I mean, are they that stupid? And the film is stupid. There is a wonderful performance from Sienna Miller as an Irish gangster's mole, and she's very entertaining. Robert Glenister, the English actor, is very good as an Irish mobster. There are good performances. I think Affleck is quite a good director of actors. There's also a very good performance from an actor who you will recognise, you won't know his name, Matthew Maher, as a particularly despicable member of the Ku Klux Klan. And I was watching these performances, and then Chris Cooper comes on. Nobody can touch Chris Cooper. He is such a terrific actor. He's just so natural that suddenly everybody else seemed to be performing. And he was this tragic character who also happens to be the corrupt sheriff of Tampa.
It's just such a shame that it's not terribly good, because his previous films were just absolutely brilliant. But, James, we're going to have to press on because we want to talk about what might happen at the Oscars. So let's whiz down the rest of the chart fairly quickly if we can.
Indeed. Yes. Hang on, let me just...
So we're looking now for number 8.
Beasts and Where to Find Them is at number 8, which is J.K. Rowling's extension of the Harry Potter universe. Number 9, we've got a new film called The Bye-Bye Man, which I haven't seen, but The Bye-Bye Man joins the ranks of the Grim Reaper, Freddy Krueger, the Candyman, and the Babadook as characters you really...
Sorry you haven't seen it, James. On the other hand, for a new film, this is extraordinary. I just looked it up on IMDb. It gets 3.8 out of 10. As you will know, any film to get that low a score, particularly a new film, is almost unheard of.
Now you know why I didn't see it.
Yes, yes. Well, I can probably afford to leave that one. And number 10?
Number 10, very quickly, is Why Him, which is a film along the lines of Meet the Parents, except this case it's Meet the boyfriend played by James Franco. There are some very funny lines in it. Bryan Cranston is very good as the father of James Franco's girlfriend. But why does it have to be so scatological? I enjoyed it much more than I thought I would. Let's just say that and move on to the big event next Tuesday, where the Oscar nominations will be announced. I've already mentioned that Casey Affleck will be getting one. Denzel Washington will be getting one for Fences. He previously won for Glory and Training Day, so he could well do a Daniel Day-Lewis and end up with 3 Oscars on his mantelpiece. He is terrific in this. And I think after the controversy of the last 2 years, they may well want to give it to a black man. Also, Ryan Gosling, he's going to get one for La La Land. Viggo Mortensen is hotly tipped for Captain Fantastic, as is Andrew Garfield for Hacksaw Ridge, which is a war film directed by Mel Gibson, which I gather you liked a lot more than I did.
And with Captain Fantastic, which I liked, I worry that that was so early in the year that people will simply have forgotten about it. It does seem to me that there's one reason why you get the films released so late is they want people's memories to be fresh. And something that was released, what was it, 8-9 months ago, if not more, that won't be the case.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you who I want to win Best Actress. And all these five actresses have a chance.
Can I guess?
Yeah, go for
Viola Davis or Emma Stone?
Or Viola neither. Davis will be Best Supporting Actress, and she will
supporting.
Win.
Okay, right.
So I hope it'll be Emily Blunt, just because I'm patriotic, for the girl on the train. I really hope Isabelle Huppert will get her first Oscar nomination. She won the Golden Globe for playing a rape victim in the French film Elle. I want Ruth Negger to win, who's an extraordinary Irish-Ethiopian actress who hopefully will be nominated for Loving. Emma Stone, deservedly, for La La Land. And Meryl Streep for Florence Foster Jenkins. I know she's been nominated so many times, but she is so good in this film.
Donald Trump thinks she's overrated.
Well, I know. What does he know? Natalie Portman, I suspect, will be nominated for Jackie, but I haven't seen it. And
I have actually seen it. It is a very, very good performance. I wasn't so taken with the film, I confess, but it is a superb performance by her. And she carries the entire film. She's most of what it is.
Yeah, she is a wonderful actress, as is Jessica Chastain. I haven't seen Miss Sloane yet, but I'd be very happy if she was nominated.
James, it's so rare that I can say I've seen films before you, but I have luckily seen Miss Sloane. I think it's absolutely superb. Whether it's an Oscar-worthy performance or something is another matter, but as a piece of entertainment, it is just wonderful.
Yeah. Well, the British are doing much better, I think, will do much better in the Best Supporting Actor rank. We've got Mahershala Ali for Moonlight. He'll definitely get nominated. Hugh Grant is a favourite for Florence Foster Jenkins. Oh. Jeff Bridges in Hell or High Water, which I believe you liked.
Oh, it took me a while to catch up with it, James. You recommended it. How right you were. What a great, great film. And I'm surprised it's not achieved rather more renown.
I know. It might, because they can have up to 9 or even 10 films nominated for Best Motion Picture. It could land a Best Motion Picture Oscar nomination. And two Brits who I think have got a very good chance to be nominated for Best Supporting Actor. Dev Patel for Lion.
Yes, great.
And Aaron Taylor-Johnson for Nocturnal Animals, who won the Golden Globe. And nobody saw that coming, but deservedly so. Have you seen Nocturnal Animals yet?
I have, yes. Disturbing but very impressive film. And Lion again with Dev Patel. I mean, a very different role for him. But boy, that's a film that's going to make you shed a few tears before the end. But I adored Lion. I thought both films were very impressive. Mm.
And finally, to Best Supporting Actress, as I said, Viola Davis will win for Fences. And in supporting ranks, I suspect, although she's got a very small role in Manchester by the Sea, I think Michelle Williams will get carried along with the enthusiasm for the film. And she's a real Oscar favourite. Nicole Kidman, I think, will probably get nominated for Lion. It's about time that she got another nomination. Naomi Harris, OBE, for Moonlight. I voted for her in the London Film Critics Circle Awards, and Octavia Spencer for Hidden Figures.
Oh, now, Hidden Figures is one that we haven't seen it at the UK box office yet, but that was a film I thought was really splendid, but sadly, I think not enough attention has been paid to it, which is a great shame. Again, featuring many black actors, the sort of film you think should be rather more celebrated. James, I know you will be at the London Film Critics Award on Sunday, so do tell us all about that next week. But for the moment, it remains just for me to say thank you to James Cameron Wilson. We'll be back with more Business of Film at the same time next week. Thank you, James.
Thank you.
I see dead people.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
I'll have what she's having.